I'm going to put a. We're talking about pulling the curtain back or pulling back the curtain this month. It's kind of interesting phrase. I'll we'll talk a little how that works. But first of all, I want to talk about some characters that you might know. Anyone know these guys? Let's go to the next one. Okay. So if we had to label them, who's the guy on the left? Scarecrow, the Lion, Dorothy, and the Tin Man. Now, for extra credit, does anyone know the name of the Tin Man? He's got a name. His name's Nick Chopper. And the Lion's actually got a name too. He's sometimes called the Cowardly Lion, but sometimes he's called Zeke the Cowardly Lion. So extra credit if you got those, right? So in The Wizard of Oz, these guys, Dorothy and her friends, have to follow the Yellow Brick Road. They want to find the Emerald City. And in the Emerald City, there's this great and powerful wizard called Oz. He'll be able to help Dorothy find her way home. And as they go along this journey, each of the members of the party have profound experiences which cause them to grow. So finally, they arrive at the Emerald City. And they go in and see the wizard. And the wizard's really scary. He's kind of all got all these lights and sounds and images. He scares them into doing what he wants. So they kind of get intimidated by this wizard. They're too terrified not to obey him. Later on, though, same room with the wizard and all his power, the dog, Toto, he pulls back a little curtain. And anyone remember the scene? Let's see what it looks like. Here's the scene where Toto pulls back the curtain. And over there, the dog is pulling back the curtain. Pulls back the curtain, and they see this old guy on a machine. He's got tricks. And so they realize that all the noise and the smoke and the loud things and the intimidation, it was just this guy behind a curtain making with all these tricks. So now they know the truth about how all this was happening, and the truth sets them free, and they're no longer afraid of him. Just this guy with a few tricks behind a curtain. He's not a scary wizard at all. But because they now see behind the curtain, it sets them free from being afraid. They've got a new perspective, and so their fears melt away because they can see why all of these things were happening, why they were so afraid before. Now, I think this scene in the movie is really helpful in helping us understand how the Bible works. In many places of the Bible, it's just like this. A curtain is taken back, and all of a sudden you see a new reality as to why things are happening the way they are. So in the Bible, there are some sections known as apocalyptic sections. Now, apocalypse means an uncovering, a pulling back of the curtain. That's literally what it means. The book of Revelation, what is it? It's the apocalypse. It's the pulling back of the curtain to show you what's really happening. The book of Daniel, other parts of the Old and New Testament, sometimes the teachings of Jesus. They pull back a curtain on reality and you see what's going on behind the scenes. It gives us information we didn't know otherwise. And when we see what's behind the curtain, we can relax because actually things are going to be okay because God really is in control. We don't have to be afraid of the scary things around us because we have this glimpse of what's really going on, what's behind the scenes. Now, we have to be careful not to confuse apocalyptic literature with post-apocalyptic movies. This is what a post-apocalyptic movie looks like. Check this one out. Next slide. That's kind of post-apocalyptic. That's like, you know, after the disaster, there's a world still left, but everything's kind of fallen apart and people are trying to survive this reality. Now, sometimes in apocalyptic literature in the Bible, you do have some disastrous things happen, but these two things are not the same. There's no hope in that image. Very little hope for the future, but apocalyptic literature in the Bible is all about hope. It's all about gaining hope. Look behind the scenes, you'll see that God is actually at work, God is actually in control, and there is hope, even if at the moment things look difficult. So they're two different things. We're not talking apocalyptic movies or post-apocalyptic movies. The apocalyptic sections of the Bible usually come at a time when God's people are under oppression, when they're suffering, when they're struggling. Often they're being persecuted. Things seem terrifying. It looks like they're doomed. And all of a sudden, the curtain is pulled back. And you realize that what's going on is not actually the end of the world. They discover something. Again, God is in control. Even though things look dark, God is going to do something. Things are going to be all right. The enemies of God will be defeated. His people will triumph. They'll be okay. We'll be okay in the end. That's what it's telling us. Apocalyptic literature brings hope. Brings hope. It doesn't bring despair. It doesn't destroy hope. It brings hope. Unless, of course, you're an enemy of God, and then apocalyptic literature says, look out, because God is not inactive. He's going to do something. So we're talking about preaching a series, Pulling Back the Curtain. So the next slide is the Pulling Back the Curtain. We're going to look at some places in the Bible where God pulls back the curtain and shows us what is happening behind the scenes of reality. We'll look at pulling back the curtain generally and then some specific things. What happens when you pull back the curtain on the issue of death? What goes on? What is behind the curtain there? What is behind the curtain when we talk about the future of the world? What is God? What has God got there? What does he want to say about that? So let's pull back the curtain. I want to start with a story from the Old Testament. And it's a story where the curtain is pulled back and it changes the attitude of the people who are involved. Completely changes their attitude because they get a glimpse of what's behind the curtain. So let's start. This is 2 Kings chapter 6. How big is that? I hope you can read that. Now, the king of Aram, a neighboring country, was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. So he's thinking about where he's going to go. And the idea is he wants to ambush the king of Israel. That's what he wants to do. So the man of God is Elisha at this point in time. He's not working for the king of Aram. He's working for the king of Israel. He sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so he was on his guard in such places. So he wasn't ambushed. He was ready or he avoided that place. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel? So you can imagine all these plans are being thwarted. And so he's thinking, which one of my officers is betraying me to the Israel side? None of us, my lord the king, said one of the officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Bit of a strange story. So the war goes on. King of Aram makes plans. Every time he tries to catch the king of Israel by surprise, the king of Israel is aware of it and he avoids the trap. So the man of God is Elijah. The ambush keeps failing. It happens again and again. Now the king of Aram is not happy. So he thinks somebody's betraying him. Somebody's leaking the information. No disloyalty. It's just that this prophet Elisha, he knows what's going on and he's able to tell the king of Israel. So we assume in this story, the prophet, he has extra information the other people don't have. He has somehow, he sees behind the curtain and he has this information the others don't have. And so he tells the king of Israel and then he's able to help the army. Okay, let's go to the next one, verse 13. The king of Aram, of course, has been enraged. So he says, go find out where Elisha is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report comes back. He's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. So the king of Aram sends this large army, a strong force, horses and chariots. They surround the city where Elisha is and his servant. Morning comes, the servant goes out. He sees the horses and the chariots. And understandably, I'll use this phrase several times, he's freaking out. He's freaking out because there's an army coming to get him. He knows that the army's out for him. What hope could you have in that circumstance? Two of them versus a whole army coming to get them. So he turns to Elisha in panic and he says, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? He's freaking out. What are we going to do? This is impossible. Okay, let's go to the picture. What's the next phrase? We should have a picture. There we go. Elisha and his servant, they're in the city. Outside is the enemy. See the horses and the chariots all around there? A mighty force. That's why he's freaking out. He can see them there. He can't see a way out. They're either going to be killed or captured, and there's no one to protect them. That's what it looks like. That's the circumstance. Now, I wonder, you might say, I've got situations like that in my life. Facing problems. The enemy is staring you in the face. Something has happened in your life and you feel like there's no way out. You're trapped. We feel vulnerable, afraid. Maybe it's a situation in your family. Maybe health. It just seems like there's no way out. Maybe finances are not good. You know, let's face it, interest rates are going up. Some people, the mortgage is not easy to pay. Maybe there's conflict that you're dealing with and it seems like the enemy is right there and you're trapped. I had a text from a friend yesterday who said that their teenage daughter had to move out of home because of conflict with their sibling. Life can be difficult. Life presents us with difficult situations. Being a Christian doesn't exempt you from those situations. It doesn't exempt you from the struggle. It doesn't give you a free pass to avoid suffering. In fact, think of this thing. Why are they in that trouble? It's because they're trying to serve God. That's why they're in the trouble. Elisha and his servant, they're struggling because of obeying God. So here's the enemy right there, right in front, and the servant is freaking out. Oh no, what shall we do? I wonder if you've ever had a freak out moment. You ever have times like that? It's like, it's just too much. I'm going to have a freak out moment. But Elisha is having a very different response to the servant. Servant's freaking out. Elisha is doing okay. So verse 16, let's go to the next one. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, let's go back to the previous slide. Let's go back to the previous slide and see to the picture. We're there at the picture where the... So he's saying there's more with us than there are with them. Is there anyone else there with them? There's not. There's no one else helping them. There's no army with them. There's just Elisha and his servant. And then there's all the enemy soldiers out there. So let's go forward again, back. But Elijah says, verse 16, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I think the servant hears this and he's going, you're crazy. Elisha, what's happened? There are two of us and there are hundreds of them and they've got all these horses and chariots. How can you say there are more with us than there are with them? Now, he's probably questioning his sanity. Wake up, Elisha. Duk, duk, duk. Look around. No one is with us. We're on our own. God has abandoned us. We're at the end of things. We're finished. So he's freaking out. And Elisha's words at this point are not helping him. Now, I wonder in contemporary terms if we could pitch it like this. Let's go to the next one. Here's the dialogue. So I'm freaking out, and Elisha just goes, chill, bro. He's actually saying, it's okay. Sometimes it's frustrating when you have a good old freak out, and there's someone else who's having a chill out, and sometimes it's your spouse, right? Who is just not allowing you to enter into your freak out zone. They're going, no, it's going to be okay. No, I don't want to hear that at the moment. I want to freak out. The servant looks out, he sees the enemy and the horses and the chariots, and all he sees is trouble. And understandably, he freaks out. And if that's all he can see, it's fully understandable that you would freak out. As we look at the issues in our life, sometimes we say the circumstances, it's fully understandable that we would be distressed and freaking out. Family, health, work, money, all of these things. The army sometimes feels like it's arrayed against us, and where can we go? We've got no help. Now, remember the word apocalypse. The word apocalypse means an uncovering. It means a removing of the cover, a pulling back of the curtain. The purpose of God pulling back the curtain is to let us know that what we see is not the whole picture. There is always more to the situation. Even if things look difficult for us at the moment, even if the situation looks hopeless, Even though it looks like evil is winning in this world, there's another perspective. There's more to see behind the curtain. If we could see what was behind the curtain, things would look very different. So the reason Elisha is so relaxed, he can see something. He's a prophet. He gets information the other people can't see. He can see the problem. He's not denying the fact that there is a problem. There's an army coming against them. He doesn't deny the army exists. He doesn't pretend they're not there. I don't think pretending and denying are good strategies. But Elisha sees something extra, and he knows if the servant could see what he sees, he'd be able to calm down and be okay. So Elisha says a brief prayer. It's a prayer that changes everything for the servant. Here's the prayer. It's in verse 17. It says, Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Lord, let him see what I can see. Let him see what is behind the curtain." And then the curtain is pulled back. Here's what we read, the next verse. The Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Here's what it looks like in the picture. Let's go to the picture. The army is still in front of them, but there's another army that Elisha has been able to see all along. That's why he can be relaxed. I'm not afraid of this army because there is a bigger army there. And the servant's going, I can't see that other army. But when the prayer, he opens his eyes and all of a sudden he can see the true reality. That's why Elisha has been so chill. There are enemies. Yes, there are enemies. There are problems. There are struggles. But there is a greater army behind the scenes. The hills are full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. And so the servants, his eyes are now open to the truth. There really are more with us than with them. He just couldn't see it before. And when he couldn't see it, he was scared. He freaked out, understandably so. But now he sees the other army. His eyes are open. The curtain's drawn back. The enemy's still there, but he's no longer afraid of them. Because he now sees what God is doing. He now sees the resources of God in the situation. He sees the army of heaven. And so the equation's changed. It's no longer 1,000 to 1. It's like, we've got this incredible army on our side. I'm no longer afraid, even though that incredible army is still there. Seeing behind the curtain, seeing what God is doing, that takes away our fear. God really is in control. The enemy is not going to win. We are going to be okay. In fact, we are going to win. There really are more with us than there are with them. Now, many times the Bible functions like this. We get to see what's behind the curtain. Even when life is difficult, even it seems like God's enemies are winning the day, even it seems like control is completely beyond us, fear not. God never loses control. Problems may still exist. It's not pretending there's no problems. It's saying God's solutions are bigger than the problems. Just out of reach of our senses, God is in control. He has the resources we need. Horses and chariots of fire, in this case, to protect us and guide us. We just need to open our eyes to this reality. So this story is apocalyptic. It's pulling back the curtain. The book of Daniel pulls back the curtain. The book of Revelation pulls back the curtain. Parts of Jesus' teachings in the Gospels pulls back the curtain on reality. We get to see what's going on behind the scenes. In fact, there's a sense the whole Bible acts like this for us. The whole story of God really gives us information we can't have from reality. It's revelation. It tells us what is really going on. Why is the world broken? Well, the Bible story tells us there was a fall. We're separated from God, as we talked about in communion. Jesus has come. He's taken our sin. We've been reconciled to God. He's risen from the dead. Death will not have the last word. All of these things are behind the curtain. They're in the Bible story. The apocalyptic parts of the Bible speak to the people that they're written to, and they give them hope. They also give us hope as we look back on what was written. It's really interesting. the different times they're given, the difficult times they're given in. In the book of Daniel, an army has come against Israel. They've been taken into exile. The Babylonians came. The people are in exile in Babylon. They were freaking out, like Elisha's servant. We have no land. We have no temple. We've fallen apart as a nation. What hope is there for us? Has God rejected us forever? That's what they're thinking in their situation. The book of Daniel, it goes behind the curtain, shows us a picture of a statue that represents world empires. These are in control. They're dominating the world and they're dominating God's people. But then the curtain is pulled back and a stone comes out of heaven and strikes the statue on its feet and it crumbles to dust. And that stone becomes a mountain that fills the whole earth. That's what's behind the curtain. That's God's plans for history. What's the message? Don't be afraid. These empires, these rulers, they don't last. They'll be gone in a generation. God, though, his plans do not pass away. They go forever. He's going to restore you. All of the other stuff is temporary. There is one like a son of man who will be taken to heaven and will receive the rulership of all nations. His kingdom will never end. That's the team you're on. Even if things are difficult now, you're on the winning team. God will make it so. The book of Revelation, the Roman Empire is persecuting the church. And so it talks about beasts, these hideous monsters with many heads. The whole world is afraid of them. But then the curtain is torn back. And the beasts are destroyed when the lamb opens his mouth. And in fact, the lamb is actually a lion. Whatever the circumstances of world history, Jesus is victorious. When the curtain is pulled back, we see the ultimate destiny of these things. There is a battle today, but there is an ultimate destiny. And that gives us hope. It gives us hope to press on even when things look difficult in the moment. So in the story today, Elisha and his servant, they're hiding from the king of Aram and his army. They have no chance against so many opponents. But just behind the curtain, what Elisha can already see, there's an army of chariots of fire. They don't actually have to be afraid. There is more with them than against them. When things get tough, we need to see behind the curtain. We need to realize, what does God say into our circumstance? So I wonder, in our lives, think about our lives. What are the freak out moments? What are the things that are causing you to struggle, to be anxious, to be freaking out? Some of us are parents and we're freaking out about our kids. Some. And it's right to be concerned. And we're concerned about the world that we live in, the world they live in. What's behind the curtain? Well, God loves our children. He has a plan for their lives. We might see activity of the enemy in this world, but behind the curtain, God's plans and purposes will come to pass. I don't know exactly how things will turn out, but I know that God is at work, that he loves. He's making all things work together for good for those who love him. All of these things are behind the curtain. That's the assurance we have. In the Old Testament, Abraham prayed for his relatives who lived in Sodom, and God rescued them, not because of Lot, but because of the persevering prayer of Abraham, despite the circumstances. So we keep praying. We keep struggling. We keep trusting God for them. Maybe it's health. Things happen to our bodies and our minds. We get reports from doctors and hospitals that might not be good. What's behind the curtain? Jesus is a comforter. He comes to us. Jesus is a healer. And the reality with that, one day we will have new bodies. We will have restoration completely. Now that might not fix everything today, but I know that one day he will wipe every tear from our eyes. He will take away all the darkness. We can be confident this circumstance is not our end. In the meantime, we support one another. We pray for one another. We comfort one another. We pray for restoration. We will make it through and God will be with us as we do it. Maybe the chariots and the horses on the bottom level that you see. Maybe it's the environment. You know, there's a whole new reality called climate anxiety. It's the stress that people feel by thinking we don't have a future on this planet. We're all doomed in the climate cooker, right? So things are so bad. That's a serious issue. I think we should be as green as we can be. And hey, we grow most of our own food at home, so we're pretty green in that space. But being green like that is not going to fix my climate anxiety. The question is, where do I get my hope? My hope comes from this. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God will make all things new. I know that one day he will bring about a new, and by that I'm saying renewed, heavens and earth. Maybe I'll talk about that a bit later. My confidence for the future doesn't come from my ability to fix things here. It comes from the fact that behind the curtain, God has said things about this world. Now, we do things in this world, but my anxiety is not stopped by that. My anxiety comes, I know God's in control. We will get through this. I know that God has a future for the world. He will make it right. From that foundation, I can do green things. And I would argue protecting the environment is the only logical thing based on the story of the Bible. That's the only logical thing you can do. We must be involved in this. A Christian worldview, where do we get our hope? We get it from the story, and the story ends with God being victorious. Pulling the curtain back also reveals the purpose of the church in history. We read in Revelation, he walks among the lampstands. Jesus walks among the lampstands. What are the lampstands? It's the churches. Jesus is present in the churches in history. We're not in charge of history. We're not calling the shots politically or economically, but in and through the church, God is doing things. He's bringing people to himself. He's redeeming people all through history. Now, I think we need to be careful we're not too triumphant. You know, the whole world is going to come and do what we do. The nation must return to Christian laws and principles. Now, that's a good thing. And there's a role for Christians in politics, but we don't need the government to be Christian in order to do our job. We're not dependent on who's in government. We get on with the job of being the church. Because we are the lampstand, and Jesus walks in our midst, or at least one of them. His presence is guaranteed when we gather. Some of the greatest advances of the kingdom don't happen in places where Christians are in charge. They happen when the government is completely opposed to Christianity and persecutes the church. And you find out behind the scenes, like in China, they exclude everyone, and 30 or 40 years later you realize 50 million Christians have suddenly appeared. God has been doing something the government was completely opposed to. They turn the world upside down. You don't need the government in place for that to happen. It happens through God's work in the church. The apocalyptic parts of the Bible, they pull back the curtain. They show us what's really happening. What are God's purposes for history? Even in the midst of our difficulties and stresses, it doesn't say everything is going to be perfect in this life. It doesn't say there's not going to be no enemies. But it says that God has a plan and there will be resources we can draw upon, even as we struggle through things. There's more than what we see. In our individual circumstances, in our families, in our nation, in our church, there is more, maybe, that we're missing behind the curtain. The work of God may not always be clear. We may be freaking out at times, but pulling back the curtain helps us to be calm in the midst. Let's go to the next slide. I think the next one, I've got some world rulers there. Some of these guys. You're in the book of Daniel, it talks about world rulers and it talks about princes, spiritual realities fighting behind the scenes of what the world rulers are doing. Behind the scenes of all these guys are the guys in Sudan. We prayed this morning too about some ethnic violence in India. Behind the scenes, this is not just people making decisions. There are spiritual realities going on causing devastation and war. Our job's not to get involved in that stuff, but to witness to a different reality. Let's go back to the Emerald City. Next slide. Okay, so just like the story today, Elisha and his servant, the characters in The Wizard of Oz face the oppression of the wizard. He's commanding them. He's trying to get them to do all these things for him. And they're freaking out. And the little dog, Toto, drags back the curtain. And all of a sudden, everything's exposed. The wizard is just this guy with a few tricks. He can't do anything, really. It's really the enemy. He's just a guy with a few tricks. God has the victory. And when we know that, it takes away our fear. It enables us to live with peace even when our enemies are right near us. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." God doesn't have to remove your enemies. If he does, that's great. That's a great victory. But how much greater a victory if God transforms you and gives you a hope that even if the enemies are there, you're not afraid of them anymore. That is a greater victory. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God can enable us to grow and to overcome these things and not to freak out. Seeing what's behind the curtain takes away our fears. Seeing what's behind the curtain gives us a reason to hope. Seeing what's behind the curtain reminds us that God is in control, whatever our circumstance here. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who is currently freaking out about circumstances, there's difficulties, there's struggles, there's enemy, and it might even be in your face. Lord, I pray you'd pull the curtain back. Lord, bring confidence that you're in control. Bring confidence, Lord, that there are more with us than against us. Bring confidence, Lord, that the resurrection of Jesus proves that you are the victor in history. Lord, I pray that we can have faith that you're at work, even in the difficulties we face. May we see what's behind the curtain. May we see your promises that all things will work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Thank you for your promise. Help us to trust you each day with the situations we face as individuals, those we face in our families, things we face as a church, and also, Lord, what we face as a nation. You are in control. You have everything sorted. Help us persevere until we see the final reality of Jesus glorified and every knee bowing to him. Lord, give us confidence that you're at work. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Give us eyes to see the resources that you have available to us. Help us, we pray. You've promised your presence by the Holy Spirit. May we draw upon your presence and have the comfort and the security and the hope that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you today, grab a coffee, have a chat with someone, get to know someone, particularly if you don't know them, introduce yourself. Some people will be staying for Alpha. Enjoy that. And remember, behind the curtain this week, God is in control. Bless you.